You're on the Mike and Abe show. I'm Abe, and if my voice sounds a little raspy today, it's because I have this mysterious case of laryngitis. But I'm going to do the best I can, and Mike is here, and his voice is okay.
My voice is okay so far. I hope I don't catch anything talking to you on the phone.
Well, if it goes through the internet, then you're going to catch it.
Oh, see, now you put more pressure on me. All right, let's go to work. We had St. Patrick's Day, a happy belated St. Patrick's Day to everybody to whom it applies in New York City. And I just want to say, I have a couple, if I may talk about one thing that makes me crazy at JFK, if I may, Mr. A. May I do that?
Yes.
There's a big taxi holding lot at JFK. Holds about 600 or 700 cabs. There's a loudspeaker, there's a dispatcher, there's a coffee shop. It's a whole scene. Now, what happens is we are sitting in that, let's call it the bullpen for cabs. And directly behind us, there's like a bullpen for limos. And from there, from the mothership, let's say, we go to the terminal after that and sit in line at the terminal for what should be like 5 minutes while the physical passenger loads into the cab. Now, what is happening at JFK is they dispatch the cabs to the terminal, and there are a few, like, idiotic dispatchers, because there's another group of dispatchers who actually talks to the passengers getting into the cab. There are a couple of dispatchers who call for more cabs than they need. They overbook cabs so that they can sit in the little kiosk at the terminal where the passengers come out of, and just text and chat with their friend, totally oblivious to the fact that the 50 cabs they have called for are going to be sitting there for 15 or 20 minutes. Basically, they want to overbook cabs, have the cabs sit in front of the taxi terminal for passengers after being dispatched from the big lot, just so they can sit in the booth and do nothing. And I guess their attitude is we're getting paid one way or the other. And I think we have to draw a line in the sand, because this dispatching company, Gateway, who won the bid to dispatch, they've had dispatchers arrested for bribes, and now this. And I've also wondered if some rogue dispatchers have a little thing going on with the limo guys on the side, because they don't call for enough cabs when it's busy and there's a lot of people. Then they call for too many cabs when it's not busy and the cab has to sit in front of the terminal. So I'm going to start looking into this, because I see the dispatchers at the main lot standing in the rain, waving cabs, risking their life by getting hit. Those main terminal dispatchers do a great job. But at the terminal itself, where the passengers come out, I'd say it's about 50-50. And not only for the cab drivers, a lot of these dispatchers have a real attitude with the passengers, surly and mean, no personality. And I'm just saying, you have to have some service element for these people coming into the city for the first time. How do these people get the job? I want to find out this whole thing through the course of the next couple of weeks here. Because it's just, there's a lot of stuff going on with the taxi dispatch that, and then they'll go like this, they go, oh, we've got a complaint, go to building 14 at JFK, and that's, I said, no, it's not building 14. The company that pays you is Gateway Services. That's who has the contract. Then they'll give me a look like I'm not supposed to know that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of stuff going on, and I'm going to look into it, not only for myself, but for the other cabbies, because especially, we're talking about, it, and they're supposed to let you go to another terminal if you're waiting in front of a terminal after being dispatched for more than 20 minutes, and they won't do anything. They'll let you sit there for half an hour, for 45 minutes. So you've already waited in the main terminal before being dispatched at all for 45 minutes. Then you're going to have to go to a passenger terminal and wait another 45 minutes, when at the passenger terminal you should only be waiting for 5 minutes. So that's really starting to become a big problem. So back to you, Abe. What do you got?
Well, why don't you tell us what happened to you the other night? You wrote on the message board half the story, and I haven't heard the other half of the story.
Well, the other half of the story, the first half of the story was basically that. I got a guy going to Brooklyn, and I came back on what they call a shorty ticket, which lets me go to the front of the line and then to the main terminal, because the short job, they don't want to punish the cabbie for taking a short job from the airport, so they give you a ticket, which lets you go straight back to the front of the line to get a fresh job at the terminal. But I went to that terminal, and there were these couple of knuckleheads. They're sitting in the booth texting. There's no limo cars around. There's no people at the terminal. There's no flight coming in. And I literally sat at that terminal for like 45 minutes. And then the job I got was a little old lady who didn't even speak any English going to the Bronx. And they didn't even dispatch her while she was waiting for the cab in a wheelchair. In a wheelchair! The guy's pushing her out. They're still in their kiosk booth texting. These are paid dispatchers. So I don't know if they have if texting is like the new crack pipe or what, but they just can't bring themselves away from these texting machines and just fire them. Just get rid of them. You're supposed to have some customer service. Forget me. Forget the waiting cabbie part just for a second. You have an attendant wheeling out a Spanish granny. She had to have been 80 years old for my cab. They didn't even get out of the booth. This is Terminal 5, JetBlue, on St. Patrick's Day at 5 or 6 in the afternoon. I don't know who was there, but it was, I literally sarcastically did like jumping jacks when the lady pulled up on the wheelchair. Because they have to ask her where she's going, and they didn't even do that. So I don't know if they're trying to get fired or if they just don't care or what the problem is. But this gateway systems, when the contract comes up, I don't even know if they're going to renew it because they've just been horrible. Horrible! Anyway.
Okay, so you wound up waiting how long?
I wound up waiting in the main lot, which I'll take it like a man because that's part of the game. You waited in the main taxi dispatch lot for about, 45 minutes. Okay, so St. Patrick's Day, I was surprised how slow it was. And then I went up after being dispatched from there to the passenger terminal, which is about a mile away. And I sat in front of the passenger terminal with no passengers for easily 45 minutes. Easily. So
okay.
That was just, that's wrong. And not only me, we're talking about 20 or 30 cabs behind me. So they were needlessly wasting 30 cabs sitting at a passenger terminal 5. So two dispatchers can sit in a kiosk and check their little messages and their Twitter and their videos and stuff
okay,
like that.
Okay.
Just fire them. Why who are these people?
Mike, you said all that already. Okay,
we're gonna say it again. Fire them.
Okay, so finally, after how long, a woman with the wheelchair came out. What's the total amount of time you waited?
The total amount of time I waited between entering the main lot and leaving with the wheelchair later, going to the Bronx, of course, was an hour and a half.
Okay. A woman with a wheelchair, was she just being escorted with the wheelchair, or did she have to take the wheelchair with her?
No, it was like an airport wheelchair, so I guess they didn't want her, like, you know, tripping the airport, so they put her in
I see. So it wasn't really a wheelchair accessible job.
No.
Okay, because sometimes I know at the airports they escort people with wheelchairs if they have a minor disability and it's difficult
to
walk.
Let me tell you something. That's a very good point, Abe. I didn't even think about that. At the very least, the dispatcher could have got out and said, "Excuse me, mister, you need a wheelchair vehicle." Like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
He didn't even do that.
No.
He didn't even know that his little girlfriend dispatcher didn't even do that. I mean, I'm thinking they come out of the booth and say, "Excuse me, do you need a wheelchair-accessible vehicle?" I mean, they're dispatchers. I'm supposed to ask. Didn't even ask. The lady's being wheeled up in a wheelchair. And I'm not a house rat. And it takes me a long time to get to the point where I want to rat somebody out. But these are two people who probably should have been fired a while ago. Because I've seen these two people with this texting dispatch routine at the terminal about four or five different occasions where the same dispatching team, I don't know if they're dating or if they're a couple or what, there's a guy and a girl. Just horrible. And they do the same thing where they overbook the cabs so they can sit in the kiosk and text at the passenger terminal. So I don't
okay.
want to rat them out.
Okay, listen. Obviously what you're saying is they're a bunch of lazy bums who are just collecting a paycheck and doing as little work as possible.
Well, they're doing worse than that. They're costing me money. It's like if you want to sit and scan the system, be my guest. But when you start costing me money, because I sat there on St. Patrick's Day, losing, it was like New Year's Eve in the city, practically. And the only reason I'm sitting there is because a couple of knuckleheads want to sit in the booth and text.
Okay.
What is this?
So in other words, their incompetence is not only, they're not only being incompetent and getting paid for it, but they're costing the cab drivers money and time waiting that shouldn't be.
Yes. Absolutely. In my opinion, 1,000%. I'll tell you, man, next time I'm going to, and I almost had a thing and where I was going to get into it with a guy because I get to the front of the line. She goes, "Come on, move up, move up." I was going to say, "What do you mean move up? There's nobody here." I was going to go into that. She goes, "Because there was like an empty space in front of me," which means nothing. Like, let's say she wanted me to move another. She's like, come on, move up, move up. And I was like, this, there's nobody here. I've been waiting for 45 minutes. There's nobody here. I'll get into it, but I said, okay, let me just get this woman and get out of here. So like I said, we went to the Bronx, and she was a nice lady, spoke no English, mm-hmm. and I had to use my broken high school Spanish. So he could have got out of the booth and say, A, do you need a wheelchair or a special vehicle? Or B, we need a Spanish-speaking driver. I mean, nothing. He just sat there and was there. So, I don't know. I mean, would you, like, rat the guy out? I mean, I don't want to be a... You know,
I would. I'm going to suggest something even better.
What's that?
Take him to small claims court.
With the rest of the drivers.
Yeah, I mean, this should be a class action lawsuit.
Yeah. Now, listen, what's your badge number? Me and the other 30 guys want to sue you for $25.
No, I would, you know, it might not be a bad idea for a power lawyer to take this organization that hires these people to small claims court.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something else along those lines. I like the idea, by the way. I'll look into that. But mm-hmm. The other thing is, where do they get these dispatchers from? I don't think these dispatchers ever drove a cab. I don't know if they were in the business, if they drove limos or what. I don't think they have any experience driving cabs. I don't think they really know that much about the geography of the city. They can never tell a driver, just if you need help, okay, if a guy's going to Brooklyn, like, listen, what do you think the best way is to do? So, I don't know, look at the map. They always shoot it back like it's my fault. I was like, well, wait a second. You're a taxi dispatcher. You don't know the highways of the city. You don't know where people are going. I mean, I would think the first thing you should do as a taxi dispatcher is know the city like the back of your hand.
Well,
they don't even know that.
Perhaps they should stop hiring these inexperienced people and hire some experienced taxi drivers to do that job.
That would be a perfect job for retired cabbies. I would say, if a guy is, let's say, the guy's like our age, like 50, 60, 70, who's driven forever, and say, listen, you might want to stop driving a lot. You want a part-time job being a dispatcher at the airport. I think that should be the first pool of people they go after, but I don't know where they get these people from.
Well, you know, something,
I've been looking for that.
You know, a lot of the problem might lie in what kind of money these people are being paid. Okay, because number one, if they're being paid a small amount of money, such as minimum wage or just slightly above, then that would give the hirers incentive to hire the least qualified people. And many of them have been accused of taking bribes, the low pay would give them incentive to want to take bribes.
Well, this is the problem. I looked somewhere on the bid. If the Port Authority has their some guy, I think a guy who lost the bid when the bid was awarded to the dispatch company asked for a Freedom of Information request to see what the numbers were where he lost the bid, because the guy apparently said, like, I don't know how they can do it for that price when I bid this price, so I just want to see what they said it cost.
Mm-hmm.
So I think somewhere in that information, the dispatcher's starting salary is, it's not like a disaster, but it's about $14 an hour straight pay.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get this, that, and the other, whatever. I don't know if they get benefits or health plan or what.
Okay.
But $14 an hour for a retired cabbie,
Mike,
and you get a little overtime, it's not horrible.
Mike, you're speculating. You don't know what the pay is, okay?
I'm sure it's not great.
Okay, well, just say that. Say this is speculation. Unless you see in black and white what the pay is, you know, don't start making assumptions, okay?
Yeah. Well, if you want to see it in black and white,
yeah,
I don't know specifically because I'm just like winging it now, but it is on the internet. If you go to the Port Authority website, they will have the winning bid for Gateway Services or whatever they're called about how much they get to make a taxi dispatch program. And right now, I think they're coming up to renew. So I don't know if it's a rebid process or what, but the job they've done lately, they also operate the taxi dispatch at Newark, the Port Authority in Manhattan, in Midtown, LaGuardia and JFK. So it's a big operation, but I again with the type of dispatchers they've got at some of these passenger terminals, they have the attitude. You got some of them that are nice, but most of them have this surly, like, attitude going. And the people with all the personality are in the main lot with the cab driver, so it's almost like the reverse role. And I'm going to look into this because I'm really upset. I think it's bad for the city. You can't have these surly losers in the mix at passenger terminals when they come out of JFK. You're supposed to say, welcome to New York, welcome to New York. It's like, instead they're getting, come on, let's go, come on. What the F is that? Damn.
Okay, Mike. Okay. We know now that you're totally objectionable to the policies of the Port Authority and the way the taxi dispatching is handled.
Right. And one last thing, so long as we're out at the airport vicariously here, I don't see a lot of Port Authority cops. I mean, where are they? Are they in the middle of some work action? I mean, you're kind of off site, but I'm there every other day.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be at least to see a cop car with the Port Authority. You'd see like a physical right. cop on the beat. Or a cop in a car or something to scare the hustlers and the wackos away. I don't see them. So I'm wondering if there's some kind of work action, if they have problems with the union. And the other thing, my brother, which is really strange, I've seen homeless people starting to sleep in the terminals a lot more lately. And I never saw it at all before, but they get like a suitcase and make believe they're sleeping between flights, but in fact it's a homeless person. Or not even a homeless person. It's a nut who's going out to the airport to sleep with a suitcase and make believe they're waiting for a flight in the terminal. Because I've seen this a lot lately, and it's just bizarre world out there now.
There's a lot of hanky panky going on at the airport.
Sure is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of slippery and deceitful people there. That are looking to hustle and make a buck, and there's no great supervision and oversight into what's going on.
Not from what I see. I never saw in the last 2 years all this weird stuff been happening with the mean dispatchers and the homeless people sleeping in the airport, and no cop to be found anywhere. I mean, this is something within the last year and a half, 2 years.
Okay.
So it just. You got me, bro. It's just very strange.
Okay, I just want to say that this is the opinion of Mike of the Mike and Abe Show, and yeah, I'm not saying I'm not saying whether he's right or wrong. I'm going to guess that there's some correctiveness to this discussion. Okay,
right,
and it should be investigated.
Yes, this is my opinion from what I see. I'm going to take a closer look into it. But honest to God, I got enough aggravation driving a cab without being an investigative reporter, which is something that's just right in your face at the airport. So I'm going to make some calls. I'm just going to say, excuse me, I just want to know why this is going on. Those three things, the nasty dispatchers, the overbooking of cabs, the homeless sleeping in the airport, and where are the Port Authority cops at the airport? Because if the Port Authority cops can't come to work, put the NYPD in there, maybe even get rid of the Port Authority, and that's enough. Okay. So, what else you got?
Tell me, Mike. Have you seen any of the NV200 Nissan wheelchair accessible vehicles?
Oh, you mean the greatest cab in the history of civilization?
The TOT Taxi of Tomorrow converted into a wheelchair accessible vehicle.
Right. I've seen a few of them, yes. I've also seen the $14,000 sticker on the window saying that it costs $14,750 to convert it into wheelchair, and surprise, surprise, the city gives a check for $14,000. So you're still losing $750, but it's amazing how that matched up, isn't it?
You know, the problem is that if you're a unrestricted medallion, okay, then you have no other choice of any of the other vehicles than the NV200 if you have to be accessible. And I just learned for myself, I didn't know this, that the wheelchair person goes in the back, and there's only room for one other person in the taxi besides the driver, and that person has to sit up front. Are you aware of this?
It's a solid partition also.
And so there's no other seating for other people in the taxi.
Yeah, so basically if someone gets in with a friend with a wheelchair, they're basically isolated in the back seat. And their friend has to sit in the front seat, And, you know, it's a little dangerous because you're talking about it's a solid passenger-driver partition. And, you know, God forbid, let's say the driver drops dead of a heart attack or has a heart attack and passes out. Then you got a person strapped into a wheelchair with a solid partition. What are you going to do, you know?
Well, just the fact that, you know, suppose there are two people traveling with the person that's in the wheelchair. Where does that second person go?
I guess they sit in the front with the driver.
But there's only room for one other person with the driver.
What do you mean?
In other words, there's only room for one person to sit up front with the driver.
That's correct.
So that if there's a second person aside from the wheelchair person, in other words, three people, one in a wheelchair and two not in a wheelchair, that person has to take another taxi.
This is correct. This is correct.
This is insane. It's not only correct, it's insane.
Yeah. But, I mean, this jumps back into the thing, like, how much are the yellow cabs supposed to do in the city? I mean, how much are we supposed to do with one cab where everybody else is making a fortune doing stuff, but the cab driver, we're supposed to take wheelchair people, we're supposed to run a group ride, we're supposed to put in... It's like, listen, they don't want to pay us any money to do stuff, but at the same time, they want us to do everything, because I'm saying, all right, I got the lady in the wheelchair or the guy in the wheelchair in the back. I got the friend in the front seat, and now we're supposed to, on top of that, have room for two more people, and they have to take another cab if they can't fit the car. How much service are we supposed to provide for a metered fare? I mean, what does everybody else do? What's the answer?
Well, let me ask you this: you've seen this vehicle, right?
Which one?
The NV200 wheelchair accessible converted vehicle.
Yes, I've driven it a couple of times. I haven't driven the converted vehicle, but I have in fact driven that vehicle.
Okay, well, have you had your eyes on the vehicle? Have you seen the inside of the vehicle?
Now that it's retrofitted. Or
yes, the retrofitted vehicle.
Yeah, no, they have a lot of stuff in the back. They have
What if there are two people hailing that taxi, non-wheelchair? Neither one of them have a wheelchair. Where does that second person sit?
The second person can sit in the front with the driver.
Is there room?
Yeah. Oh, it's like a nightclub up there. The driver has plenty of room, and the passenger in the front would have plenty of room. So we have a person in a wheelchair, and their friend and the driver can fit in that vehicle. This is what I'm saying. If they want, like, two more people on top of that, I don't know how much more we can...
That's not what I'm asking you, Mike. That's not what I'm asking you. What I'm asking you is, you know, just because you're a wheelchair-accessible vehicle doesn't mean all your fares are wheelchair fares. If you're riding down the street and two abled people hail you...
Right.
Can those two able people sit in that car?
Four passengers can sit in that car. That's correct. Besides the driver, five altogether.
And that's not what I was told. I was told that there's only room for one person in the front.
No. What do you mean? All right. So you're going down the street. You have the driver in the front and the passenger in the front. That's one passenger in the front.
Right.
And when the person in the wheelchair is
no wheelchair. He's just a regular person.
Yeah, you can have four people in the car.
There's a back seat?
Yeah.
So where does the wheelchair person go?
Well, if the wheelchair person is now a fare, you have to collapse the back seat, and it makes that compartment, after the seat is collapsed, into a space for the person.
Okay, so therefore, if it's just a regular fare, you could get four people in the car. But if there's one Absolutely. Person in a wheelchair, then you can only get one other person in the car.
Yes, besides let's say three total, the driver and two people.
Right, right. In other words, two passengers.
Right.
Wheelchair passenger and an accommodating passenger. That's if there's correct. A third passenger for that car with the wheelchair, then that third passenger cannot get into the taxi.
That's correct.
And if there's no wheelchair in the car, the back seat is up, and you can get four people in the taxi.
That's from what my understanding is, that's correct. I'll go in for a further look, but I've seen it, and it looks like just a regular calf, backseat.
Okay, if anybody wants to comment on this, send us an email, please. We'll go to our message board, okay? I wish more people would join our message board, okay?
Well, look, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. They listen to our radio show. They don't want to see their name in lights, but everybody is tweeting and doing stuff these days. So maybe people just don't write. I mean, I write, you write, but we're from the old guard. People are just tweeting and looking at videos, and I guess they don't sit down and write stuff.
Tweeting and start talking.
We have a steady stream of people who look at the message board. We don't have a steady stream of people who physically write down stuff on the message board. So it's kind of like, I guess it's good, but it could be better. But at least they're in the mix somehow. It's going to happen. It'll grow. They're listening more to our little radio show here. And, like the stories that you post and the articles you post, which are great. And they are looking at the ad. That's another thing.
Oh, well, we're getting hundreds of people a day. 400 people a day are logging onto the website. Okay?
It's a beautiful thing.
They're just not posting on the message board.
Right. Well, I mean, look. Some people are shy. They don't want their name out there on the internet.
Well, they can use a fictitious name, on the board. They can make up a name for the board.
Like IP Daily or Benjamin Duvier?
Whatever they want. Okay?
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, don't scare the fish away. If we got 400 people a day coming in, welcome. Thank you. Thank you for coming in. There's no pressure to do anything. Just look at the message board because we'll be there. I know that much.
Okay.
We'll have our musings on the message board because we write articles and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, the other thing is, you're right about this whole wheelchair thing because we have people now. The TLC is, in fact, what you very aptly did. They're ready to start throwing money at the cabbies from this fund they've been collecting because the fund money, they have 30 cents per trip coming in from taxi passengers, which is going into a TLC monitored fund, which now got to the point where it's like $40 or $50 million in there that the TLC will then release to cab drivers who get these wheelchair-accessible vehicles. And there'll also be some money for maintenance, extra money for per-trip fares for the drivers that aren't wheelchair-accessible fares. So it's good. I mean, they've loosened the purse strings a little bit, so we'll see how it works. But trust me, in this business, everybody's got their hooks into the cab driver, so they're trying to find every conceivable way to take that money away from the drivers where it's supposed to be going and put it in their pockets, which is pissing me off. But at least it's starting to happen. And that's why the wheelchair program has been pretty much a disaster to this point. Because there's always a situation where they want to avoid giving cab drivers more money.
Well, there's a message up on the board this week sent in by a woman that calls herself Auntie Uber. Okay,
uh-huh.
And she says she spoke to a couple of the wheelchair drivers, and they're all taking in a lot of money.
And you know what? And here's the thing. They're taking in a lot of money, but when something good happens, they don't say nothing. That's a taxi business, because when
why complain about something good?
No. But, I mean, this is what they do. When there's something bad in the business, they whine and they cry, and everything is the end of the world. It's a disaster. When something good happens in the business, like they're starting to make some money from wheelchair-accessible vehicles, they're starting to make some money getting compensated for repairs and a little extra money for trips, they don't say anything. They just hide in the corner like a squirrel inside chomping on their food, and they don't tell us they don't tell the other drivers anything about more money coming in. Maybe that's just the way of the business. I mean, does that sound about right to you?
Well, yeah. Some people are chronic complainers, and when they have nothing to complain about, they keep their mouth shut.
Right. I guess maybe it's a good way of doing business from a negotiating standpoint, but I've always been the moron. When it's good, I'll tell you it's good. When it's bad, I'll tell you it's bad. But some people just have a one-wayism about themselves. And it's very annoying because we're trying to just get everything out there to help move this thing along. So what you're telling me is the wheelchair accessible vehicle drivers now are in fact making a few extra bucks more.
And they're making more than a few extra bucks. They're making lots of extra bucks.
And they say nothing. And they've said nothing to the other drivers. Wonderful.
Right. Well, maybe
I'm going to look into it.
Yeah, we'll look into it, Mike, okay?
Now, is this the green card drivers also, right?
Yeah, they have real. I don't know if they're part of the program. They should be, okay? I don't know what is going on with them. They're certainly paying the 30 cents on each fare, right?
Right. Well, you know, this is the other thing with the Uber cars. Now, the guy I was talking to who might want to be working with us, he had a good point. He said they're really going after Uber in Albany because Uber doesn't have any specific wheelchair accessible vehicles outfitted at all on the street. And what Uber is doing is forwarding that work to the taxi business. Now, if they're paying us more for wheelchair rides, fine by me. So if Uber wants to blow off lucrative wheelchair rides to the taxi and green car business, that's okay. But at the same time, why should we be having all the fun with having to buy new vehicles when Uber and these other knuckleheads in this transportation network nonsense don't have to buy anything? I mean, it should be equal protection under the law.
And that's what's in the courts right now. And, you know, hopefully we'll get some decisions on that.
Yeah, I hope so, because we just have been hammered with regulations right, left, and center. And it is a competitive disadvantage. I mean, we're constantly having to buy cars. We're constantly being vilified for not picking up the handicap, which we do. And Uber just gets to skate through and charge triple and quadruple the rate and do nothing. So there has to be at least something going on, equal play. And Uber shouldn't even be here. Where'd they come from? It's almost annoying.
Okay, Mike, the TLC is going to have a meeting, I believe, on the 21st. Let me check that. On April 21st. And they have some rules they're going to pass, okay? And I have them in front of me, okay? Would you like to go over them one by one and comment?
Just go real quick what the rules are.
There's a bunch of them, okay? enhance the exclusionary zone enforcement. That's the enforcement against the street hail liveries that are picking up fares within the exclusionary zone, which is below 110th Street on the west side and below 96th Street on the east side in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. So they want to enhance the enforcement. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You like that, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. I agree.
All right. End vehicle affiliation with suspended bases.
And what now? What is that again?
End vehicle affiliation with suspended bases. In other words.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. Well, some of these bases are just like bogus bases, so they really have to work to get rid of these bogus bases and help the good bases. So what does that mean in your mind?
I don't know. All I know is that a livery vehicle should be affiliated with some base, and all four-hire vehicles should be affiliated with some base. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not just have a base in cyberspace. Okay? Like some of these Uber cars, I think. All right?
Oh, God. I've seen the other thing with the Uber thing. So not to make it into the I Hate Uber show, because they're just so annoying. They have cars coming in now from Jersey, from Long Island. They have private cars that I've seen with their little photocopy Uber sign in the window with not the Uber logo there, like the physical one, the lit thing in the window, which I don't know how they get away with that either. But you have a lot of chicanery going on with fake Uber cars, and even the Uber cars themselves, a lot of guys... just register the car, put it on the road, and grab a guy from the neighborhood to drive. These drivers, they don't log in, they don't have proper licenses, and it's so fast and loose that I'm just wondering why the taxi commission let it get to this point. I don't know. They must have just had a ton of money being thrown into the political process, and now it's all become a big mess.
Well, here's a big one that they're going to do. I'm just skimming through these. Define sexual harassment and unwanted sexual contact. This rule amendment would provide clear definitions of sexual harassment and unwanted sexual contact, which would help TLC prosecution enforce its rules and protect our passengers. And then
that's a police matter. I mean, how does the TLC? How come all of a sudden now they're becoming the New York City Police Department?
Let me read to you the definition that they're giving of sexual contact. Sexual contact means any touching of the sexual or other intimate parts of a person. It includes the touching of the licensee by the victim, as well as the touching of the victim by the licensee, whether directly or through clothing, as well as the emission of ejaculate by the licensee upon any part of the victim, clothed or unclothed.
Are you for real? Is this
in the writing. This is in the writing of the rules.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Ejaculate.
Well, you know.
Are you crazy?
Mike, I can't imagine, you know, I mean, once you get that far, you're in criminal territory, you know.
It's genie's out of the bottle.
Yeah, I mean, this is far beyond a TLC rule violation, okay?
Well, that's why even make a TLC rule? Like, if a guy's, you know, cranking to that point, they should throw him in jail. I mean, it's almost like saying, well, we're going to, you know, prosecute you, throw you in jail, and you're going to get a fine. It's like, listen, if the guy's a criminal, you arrest him and throw him in jail.
Okay, well, here's the definition of sexual harassment. Sexual harassment means engaging in any conversation related to sexual acts and sexual contact, or any other matter relating to sexual conduct, gender, physical appearance, expressing a desire to see or touch another person's body, or expressing a desire to enter into any type of relationship with another person.
But this is what they've written up into the rule book?
Yes.
I think they're crazy. I mean, this is just, first of all, it's First Amendment right. I mean, there is flirting that goes on all the time in a cab between a driver, good-natured flirting, I might want to say, and they just can't have people suing cab drivers and medallion owners to get money. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean anything has happened, but
let me say something here, okay? I've driven a cab for 42 years, and, you know, if you, a driver, initiate this type of conduct, I could see where that's objectionable, okay?
Right.
But, hey, it goes the other way.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, there are women in that get into the taxi and come on to the driver.
Yeah, oh, all the time, especially when there's like $50 on the meter.
I'll tell you this, there have been hundreds of times over the years where a woman has said in my taxi something suggestive, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, and to think that the driver should be responsible that when they keep coming on and on and on, I mean, sure, you can keep your mouth shut for once or twice, okay?
Right.
But sometimes it doesn't end so fast. I'm not interested. You could say I'm not interested, but they don't stop. Okay.
This is First Amendment stuff. This is constitutional law.
I know.
And I think the TLC is far overextending themselves. No pun. For that, they have no right to make this law. And first of if it gets to the point where it's really weird, it's a police matter. Okay. The TLC, for some reason, they seem to think they're the police. Their inspectors on the street have this like cop thing going, where they think they're like police. It's like, excuse me, you are not the NYPD. You're taxi inspectors. Stop with the flashing light. Stop driving 80 miles an hour down Sixth Avenue, 80 but 60 miles an hour, chasing a cab for some petty offense. You're not police officers. You're taxi inspectors. You gotta get a grip. And again, with the TLC, I think they pass these rules because a lot of these cabbies just don't know their rights. I mean, maybe back home, it's totally oppressive society, but if you're going to have a violation of the right to free speech in the cab, there is flirting in the cab. I get, I had a girl there the other day, like 2 months ago. She was out of town job. She's going to Edison, New Jersey. She starts, it's a 2 hour job, an hour outside of the city. She starts talking about orgies that she used to have out in Germany. And I'm looking at the meter. It was a $350 job going down to Princeton. And, you know, I'm starting to, like, engage in the conversation because it's only me and her in the cab. She's talking about orgies and she has sex clubs and blah, blah, blah. And I'm trying to be a gentleman about it. But at the same time, I might have made a pass at her, but I'm thinking about the $300 I got on the meter. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
That's the only thing that's what kept me in check. But these women come on the cabbies all the time. I can't tell you, because it's a family show, what some of the guys have told me. I mean, I used to be crazy back in the days. I mean, I was, you know, with a flag waved, I salute kind of guy. But the thing some of the other cabbies tell me, you got to be kidding me. I mean, these girls are crazy, some of them. And now all of a sudden, if you respond and say yes, you're supposed to be breaking a TLC rule. Listen, this is all a thing. I don't think we have any real driver representative at TLC.
Okay.
There used to be a few.
I want you to hear the penalties for violation of the rules. Okay.
This is a lot of times with the Uber drivers too. The Uber drivers have a lot.
Okay.
of harassment complaints.
Yeah. Okay. Rule number 5412, Title 35 of the Rules of the City of New York, is amended by adding new subdivisions. Read the following: sexual harassment. While performing the duties and responsibilities of a licensee must not engage in the sexual harassment of any person. Fine, $1,000 and mandatory suspension of 30 days and or revocation. Okay?
Okay.
Sexual contact. While performing the duties and responsibilities of a licensee must not engage in sexual contact with any person. Fine, $2,000 and mandatory revocation.
Wait. So what do you mean sexual contact?
Sexual contact is touching the person.
Yeah.
Okay, I read that to you. Okay, I'll read that again.
No. What I'm saying is that consensual sexual contact or just any kind of sexual contact?
That's a good question. I don't think it defines that. Okay, let me see. I had that here a second ago. Mm-hmm.
I'm going up there. I'm gonna go up there, and I'll be the weirdo talking about this.
Well, okay? Well, the meeting is April 21st. Okay.
What time is it?
Hold on, I'll find out for you.
Right.
Let me read you the sexual contact thing again, okay? Sexual contact means any touching of the sexual or other intimate parts of the person. It includes...
I'm 50 something years old. I know what sexual contact is.
Let me read their definition of it. Okay. Okay. It includes the touching of the licensee by the victim.
What?
It includes the touching of the licensee by the victim. That means if the victim touches you, it's sexual contact.
So if you're
the victim. If that happens, then you're the victim.
Okay.
I mean, if you're driving a taxi and a woman or another man reaches over and touches you, according to them, is sexual contact. Sexual contact, be it done by the driver or the passenger.
So if somebody in the front seat grabs your package, then you're going to get a fine for that too?
Or any other parts. Let me read this to you again. Sexual contact means any touching of the sexual or other intimate parts of the person. Okay, intimate parts. Okay, sexual or intimate parts. What's an intimate part that's not sexual? Okay? It includes the touching of the licensee by the victim. In other words, if the victim, so-called victim, would be the passenger, if they do it to you, then they call that sexual contact, as well as the touching of the victim by the licensee. So in other words, it goes both ways. Okay, so which is right and which is wrong? I mean, they're not going to find the passenger if the passenger reaches over and starts playing with you.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you something else, is that this is the New York City Police Department stuff. It's just, I mean, to have something like this in a subjective way in a cab, it just, and then what happens, if you plead guilty to this, can this so-called victim then sue you and take you to the Human Rights Commission? I mean, that's happening too now. I mean, people just want to get...
That's another possibility, yes.
Like, if you say, okay, well, I'll pay $1,000, like happened to the last guy with refusals, is it going to be a situation where the driver says, oh, yeah, okay, whatever, I'll just pay $1,000. Then, boom, they drag you up to the Human Rights Commission for a $25,000 fine. Then they sue the medallion owner for $1 million because they're scarred for life. And, you know, I mean, it's like the lottery with these lawsuits now. There's no tort reform in New York State. It's just like the Wild West.
I don't know how constitutional this is. Okay?
For me, that little bit I know about the Constitution, I think it's bogus. I think it would not, if you brought this in front of the Supreme Court or in front of like any judge with half a brain, he'd probably throw out the law. And I think you'd have to start disbarring some of these lawyers for making these, for cocked the laws up, no pun.
I know. Let me read you the rest of this.
Yeah.
It includes the touching of the licensee by the victim as well as the touching of the victim by the licensee, whether directly or through clothing, as well as the emission of ejaculate by the licensee upon any part of the victim. Well, what if the licensee is a woman?
Yeah.
Women don't ejaculate.
Well, sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Well, we know when they say ejaculate, we know they're referring to the male.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I mean, the other thing is, for the driver during the course of his, let's say if a guy gets lucky. Let's say if a guy meets a girl, gets lucky, pulls over to the side of the road, it goes off duty. I mean, are they saying like you can't fool around with a girl in the cab willingly?
Well, they're saying that you can't even talk about it in the cab because that's the sexual harassment part. Sexual harassment means engaging in any conversation related to sexual acts and sexual contact, or any other matter relating to sexual conduct, gender, physical appearance,
like Stalin,
expressing a desire.
Like
huh?
Yeah. It sounds like Stalin, communist, fascist propaganda, and I think this is the problem we have now. We have a lot of people, a lot of wackos in the mix here, and you can't void the First Amendment free speech right of a cabbie and a passenger. If they want to talk about something, have a little lighthearted flirting, fine. But you can't deny someone's rights. I mean, if it's a crime, it's a crime. You bring in the cops and throw somebody in jail. But if it's not a crime, and the driver is doing his or her job, then that's the end of it. I'm going to go up there.
Okay, you're going to go up there, and I'm waiting for you to go. And I'll tell you right now, the meeting is, the public hearing will take place at 10 a.m., on April 21st, 2016, at 33 Beaver Street, 19th floor. Okay? All right?
Beaver Street, figures. Yeah, yeah. Talk about Beaver Street. Am I going to get a fine?
I don't know, but Mike, we're going overtime here. All right?
Yeah. All
okay,
right.
This has been a good Mike and Abe show.
Friday, okay, everybody. We'll see you next Friday with a brand new show.